Holy Spirit, touch my lips, open our hearts, and transform our lives and the whole cosmos to reflect more and more your divinity. Amen. We have arrived to the end of the liturgical year, the church year. Today is the last Sunday of the year. Next Sunday, we'll have the beginning of Advent, a new year in the church. We'll have the Advent wreath here in the middle, marking the Sundays before Christmas. The Heisingers had agreed to put up the Jesse tree over at the parish hall. Jan Reed and Jenny Hovelman will be setting up the Nativity Village in my office window looking towards Main Street. And Linda Bryant is working on creating a new tradition, the Chrismon tree. She'll be explaining a little bit more of that in next week. And next Sunday, we'll be beginning a new year in the lectionary, in the readings. We'll be moving from the Gospel of Matthew that we've been reading, and we're going to go to the Gospel of Mark. Now, this last Sunday of the year points to the end goal, the hope of God's reign being manifested in the whole world. Or as we pray in the gospel, in the collect prayer for today, whose will it is to restore all things in your well-beloved Son, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That is what we're invited to look. What is the end? And it's a bit apocalyptic. Usually the end of the year is very apocalyptic. The end of times, the end of the world. All the tension and anxiety around the end things. And the gospel today is the ending of chapter 25 of Matthew. And it's part of the last week of Jesus' earthly life. Jesus has brought his disciples to the Mount of Olives, and he's pointed to the temple that you could see across the Kidron Valley. And pointed to the temple, he said to them at the beginning of chapter 24, "Do you see all those things? I assure you that no stone will be left on another. Everything will be demolished." I try to imagine what was going on in Jesus' mind and heart. It must have been a very difficult week for him. Probably there was frustration, fear, anger, disappointment. But ultimately, there was hope. Even in the midst of this very hard moment, Jesus was looking. He was hoping that God's reign will be manifested. However, he was aware that before that final chapter, suffering and the demolishing of the old needed to happen. Jesus is talking more and more in apocalyptic language. I imagine the disciples were a bit freaking out with all this. So this last discourse of Jesus is called the Discourse of the Mount of Olives. Jesus is preparing them for what is to come. The final words of this discourse we hear on the beginning of chapter 26. Matthew says, "When Jesus finished speaking all these words, he said to his disciples, 'You know that the Passover is 2 days from now, and the human one will be handed over to be crucified.'" These last two Sundays, we've been hearing this discourse of the Mount of Olives. And we heard the past two Sundays, two parables that Jesus shared with the disciples. The parable of the 10 young bridesmaids, remember that? And last week, it was the parable of the talents. In my personal meditation, I've seen these parables as a way of Jesus encouraging, preparing the disciples for this traumatic period about to begin. I think Jesus is telling them, disciples, brothers, sisters, you need to have your oil lamps filled, and you need not to let fear take hold of your hearts, like the third slave of the parable of the talents. In this final story of Jesus' discourse in the Mount of Olives, traditionally titled The Judgment of the Nations, I think it's a passage that presents the heart of Jesus' message. God cares for the hungry, the thirsty, the stranger, the sick, the naked, the imprisoned. I would like to take another approach to it. And to be honest, this is my personal reflection. I have not found it in any commentator, so take it with a grain of salt. Yet this is a story that should inspire us, I believe, to focus on alleviating the social ill. Yes, it is a social justice gospel, but I believe in the context of the last week of Jesus, I believe that Jesus was also giving the disciples another counsel for the demanding time that was fast approaching. Stick together. You will only be able to go through this trial if you do not separate from me, from each other, and from the least of these brothers and sisters. While doing Lectio Divina with this text, I was drawn to that word, separate. Separate the sheep and the goats. Yes, it seems that is the human one, the Son of Man, who is the one separating. But I think what Jesus is trying to say is that if you are unable to find me in each other, and especially in those in need, you are already separated. I imagine that for some, the final words of eternal punishment at the end might be disturbing. But I think that what Jesus is saying is, if you are already unable to see me in the poor and in each other, you have already separated yourselves. You have already made your own hell. The Catechism of our Book of Common Prayer defines hell as death in our rejection of God. I believe that hell is not punishment from God, but it is simply the state when we get ourselves in, when we are committed to be separated from nature, from each other, especially from the poor, from our own true self, which is in God's image and likeness, and thus ultimately separate from God. God does not need to send us anywhere. We send ourselves there. And this, I believe, was the bane, the poison of the myth of Eden. In that profound story, Adam and Eve are tempted by the serpent to think they need to eat the fruit to be like God, Genesis 3:5. But they already had been created in the image and likeness of God, Genesis 1:27. This created their separation from themselves, from nature, from each other, and from God. They doubted that they were one with each other, with God, and with nature. My meditation has been that these words of Jesus in his final week of his earthly life were to tell his disciples, hard times are coming. Fill your oil lamps. Don't let fear dominate your hearts. And do not separate yourselves from each other, from the poor, and ultimately from God. And I think, probably I'm reading it because what we're living around, in these very trying times we're living in, a world paralyzed by a pandemic, climate change wreaking havoc, systemic racism, our president undermining democracy, Jesus' word to his fearful disciples, I believe are hopeful words for us also. I hear Jesus telling me, Berto, fill your oil lamp. Do not relent from your spiritual practices that replenish your soul. Berto, don't let fear dominate your heart, fear that cowers you into inaction, into burying yourself. And finally, don't separate. Stick together, especially with those most in need, and you will stick to me. I've been reading the writings of a 4th century monk in Egypt, Evagrius Ponticus, and as you know, monks are by definition those who separate themselves. However, coincidentally, this Friday I was reading Evagrius' treatise on prayer, where he writes, a monk is one who esteems himself as one with all people, because he ever believes he sees himself in each person. Even for a monk, there is ultimately no separation. We are strongly invited today, I believe, in these difficult times, to see ourselves in each other, and like Jesus said, to see in each other God's self. Brothers and sisters, let us replenish our oil lamps. Let us not let fear hold our hearts hostage. And finally, let us stick together. Because only when we realize that we are one in ourselves, with nature, with each other, and with God, we'll be able to traverse the difficult passage of Passion, of the Passion, and come to the glory of the risen Christ. Amen.
Amen.